June 14th, 2011. This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report special live broadcast with myself, Mimi Rosenberg, and Ken Nash. District Council 37's massive fight back rally at City Hall. No layoffs, no contracting out, and no service cutbacks. We'll be with you till 6 p.m. as District Council 37 plans to rock City Hall with the biggest demonstration of public workers ever in New York. Today, District Council 37 union members, joined by allies of the working class, will stand up for their union rights and economic needs, fight back against the fiscal assault on our public schools and public health care, the shredding of public services that prevent child abuse and keep rats from running wild in New York City, and raise their voices against the drive to crush public employees' rights from coast to coast. They will stand in solidarity to protect the libraries where so many immigrants enhance their language skills, where so many of the unemployed use free computers to search for jobs, and where so many children, especially the city's 43,000 homeless children, do their homework. They will speak out for the public parks and pools, the only free recreation available for working families.
By letting the state's millionaires' tax expire in December, the mayor and the governor are cutting taxes on the wealthy by $5 billion a year. Mayor Bloomberg has squandered taxpayers' money by throwing away $750 million on the City Time payroll project, where the contractor is also accused of stealing $80 billion from the city, failing to collect business taxes that are owed to the city, and continuing to waste some $10 billion on 18,000 private contracts for the work city employees could perform. If his administration can waste that kind of money, then the mayor can afford to cancel the service cutbacks and layoffs, stop the attacks on public employee benefits, and get real about raises for workers.
The right-wing effort to destroy union rights and drive workers hard-fought for wages and benefits further down the economic ladder is a cancer that will spread unless we stop it. So we're here with the workers to rock City Hall. And right now we have two people who are particularly well situated to help contextualize the demonstration that is happening today. And they are David Jones, who is the president and CEO of the Community Service Society, one of the premier organizations that does just that, studies and research and services the peoples of our city. And as well, James Parrott, who is the director of the Fiscal Policy Institute, who's going to tell us what really should be happening and what should and shouldn't be cut. And first of all, how do you feel, both of you? Let's start with David.
Well, it is exciting to be here and watch the union movement starting to wake up. I think it's probably what's been needed and missing for a long, long time, this solidarity between union and the people they're serving. And I see it coming back together. It is inspiring.
And you're not going to be dampened even by a little bit of rain, huh?
No, we've been through worse than that.
Indeed we have. James, how do you feel about being here today? What does this mean for you?
Well, you know, people say that people are accepting of the cuts and they're not protesting or raising an outcry against this. Our offices are right around the corner, and I can attest to the fact that, you know, more often than not, in the past 2, 3, 4 weeks, there have been demonstrations and marches every day, various groups protesting closing of the firehouses, layoffs in the libraries, the school teachers, and so on. Every day, there's a group out here raising an outcry over some of the multitude of cuts that are in the mayor's budget.
But I think they've not been covered very well, or if in any cases at all, by the so-called mass media. But that's basically a subject for another show. So let's start with David Jones in terms of talking not only about the cuts that we're talking about at this demonstration, but the wider cuts in the city. It just brings back memories of the 1970s for me, when the entire city basically did not work. We're not at that point yet, but I see us walking down that path. David?
Well, we've been particularly concerned about young people in the city of New York. And many of, we have 175,000 16 to 24-year-olds who are not working and not in school. And yet we're seeing suggested cuts to summer youth employment programs, to libraries. And just a couple of weeks ago, the police commissioner made it clear that there's been a sharp increase in gang violence that can be directly attributable to the problems of no work, no recreation, and no access for hundreds of thousands of young people. And to suddenly not see this as a threat, not only to those children and their families, but the entire fabric of the city, we think is a major mistake. This is going to cost us dear, and it can't be sort of delayed. And that's why I don't think we're getting the sense that they understand. And I think that's why rallies like this, but in other places, have to make people understand that the costs are going to be monumental for the city of New York long term.
And James Parrott, Deputy Director and Chief Economist of the Fiscal Policy Institute, we get reports that, at least technically, the Great Recession is over. You would beg to differ in an actual sense, would you not?
The only reason there's been some easing in the unemployment rate in the city in the past year is because people are so discouraged about their prospects for finding a job that they've dropped out of the labor force. Even with the officially measured unemployment rate at 9%, there's nothing to celebrate about. There's no indication that there's a robust recovery underway. You know, we've had pitifully few jobs added in the last year in New York City. We have historically high levels of long-term unemployment. 55% of the people have been unemployed for more than 6 months in New York City, and more than one out of four has been unemployed for over a year. A lot of people, again, have dropped out of the labor force. So we don't have a recovery underway in New York City, except, you know, if you look at Wall Street profits, they've come back. Big businesses have record profits. They're sitting on a lot of cash. They seem to be doing all right. But for most of the people in New York City, you know, this is still the Great Recession, and it lingers on. And the last thing you want to do is have such severe budget cuts that you're going to worsen the unemployment situation and take away the needed services that people who are suffering in this recession rely on.
The people that work for the city that are out here today are people who have, in many cases, worked themselves up from poverty to, if not jobs that are paid extremely well, but jobs that are secure. I'm afraid that we're getting to a point where there are fewer and fewer of those jobs. And as we nibble away at the civil service jobs, we nibble away at one of the foundations of the city.
I was much, much younger growing up. In the African American community, the way out of poverty was clearly civil service. It was the first break-in to a way to put your family into not rich, but certainly the middle class. And as we unhinge that, we're unhinging the hopes of a whole generation coming forward.
I just want to elaborate on that more. I must say that as a civil legal aid society attorney, one of the realities that I see is a intensification, a deepening level of the poverty, and a new group of people who are impoverished, and many of them were people from the civil service who have lost their jobs and their benefits have now come to an end. And there are people who literally worked in the HRA, the welfare centers, if you will, and are now clients of those centers or about to be. What does that also mean for the African-American community? What does it mean for the Latino community? Because certainly those were the people who were last hired and indeed remain the first fired and have altered their economic relationship dramatically in these last years.
Well, we had mentioned the unemployment rate hovering around 9%. There's a rule of thumb, you double for the black and Latino community. So we're dealing with some neighborhoods where you're seeing 50% unemployment, particularly among young people. We had a short monograph some weeks ago saying that of 16 to 24-year-old black men without a high school diploma, only one in four of them is in the workforce, and they're not in school either. So the trouble is that cohort, as it moves through, is damaged permanently. I think everyone has recognized, if you haven't made, and that's the academic research, if you haven't made connection to the workforce by 25, you suffer a lifelong disability. So I'm getting very concerned as hundreds of thousands are added to these roles of long-term unemployed, who are young people who really never make the connection. We're essentially undermining the fabric of the city. This isn't the first time this has happened. If many of you saw the DiCaprio frame The Gangs of New York about what happened to the Irish unemployed and the gang warfare that broke out in New York, that wasn't because the Irish were uniquely prone to violence. That was because there were no jobs and there was no outlook of hope. I think they're setting up the same conditions, and the question is, under whose watch this is going to explode on us?
And I just want to let people know, if you just tuned in, you are listening to a live Building Bridges broadcast over, of course, WBAI 99.5 FM from City Hall. And we refuse to have our spirits dampened despite the rain, as tens of thousands of workers are gathering to say, hell no, we won't go, and there is absolutely another way, and we're going to continue to talk about what that other way is. So maybe we can get into some of the issues of, but what is a poor mayor and council to do when there is an economic deficit, if you will, James Parrott?
The last thing we need is more austerity on top of the growing austerity, the push for austerity at the federal level and at the state level. The mayor rightly points out that the state budget is going to have a dramatically austere and contractionary effect on the New York City economy, because it's cutting, it's taking $6.8 billion out of the New York City economy, which is basically taking away a year's worth of economic stimulus. Now, what the mayor is not fessing up to is the fact that part of the reason why there are such dramatic cuts in the state budget was that the millionaires tax, a temporary increase in the income tax hitting only people above $300,000 in income, is being allowed to expire at the end of this year. And the mayor did not, you know, press the governor to continue that. If he had, the cuts in the state budget that are now squeezing New York City wouldn't be nearly as severe. So we should start with that. It's not too late to do that. We could affect next year's state budget, and that will have an impact on New York City. We also need to look at the massive contracting out that Ken referred to earlier and seek savings there. It's very clear that in a lot of cases, if we contract in, we can save substantial money. We also have to start closing and be a little bit more stringent when it comes to business tax breaks, because under this mayor, they have grown by almost threefold, 2.5 times as fast as overall tax collections in this city have grown. If tax breaks given to business hadn't increased as a share of city tax collections, we would have $1 billion more. We wouldn't have 6,000 teacher layoffs, and we wouldn't have, you know, 1,000 people in the public libraries being laid off. We wouldn't have 1,000 people in the parks department being laid off. We wouldn't have child care services being cut back. If we had just been a little more, you know, tight-fisted when it comes to giving out tax breaks to business.
And also real estate interests?
Real estate interests get, you know, a good share of those property tax breaks. You know, a lot of those come in the form of so-called retention agreements to keep big companies here and so on. So those have grown sort of willy-nilly. It's not directly in the budget, but it certainly does deprive the city of tax revenues that it could use to fund essential services.
And one of the things that we don't always talk about, but I know that the Community Service Society gives a great deal of thought to, David Jones, is the workers. We've mentioned a little bit about the intensification of poverty and so on, but what does it mean when jobs are contracted out, where people fought the blood, sweat, and tear that went into establishing the right to collectively bargain, etc.? What does it do to our communities, to our neighborhoods? Who are these workers?
Process allows for the workers who take those spots to get paid less, to be squeezed down. They don't have any rights. That it basically, by breaking the back of civil service and allowing the lowest bidder to get the price, you do two things. You further impoverish working people, and you break the back of poor communities.
Well, I want to give each one of you an opportunity to make some additional comments in the time we have left for this segment as we line up to speak with the grand dame, shall we say, the premier organizer of this rally who's approaching us, and that is Lillian Roberts. So, David Jones?
Well, I think we have to take a historical fact. I was talking to Jim just before we started. The fact that the generation of leadership in business and in government now seems to not have any historical record. They don't recognize what happened to in the Great Depression, which is the closest analog to, and the suffering of poor people as they tried to cope with it. The Great Depression obviously led to the New Deal and enormous efforts to make sure that pain was less. This administration and all over the country doesn't seem to understand that this is a time of crisis that's going to really define how we are as an urban area and as a nation. That if we allow this sort of devil take the hindmost, that if you don't make it, you can basically go to the boards. I think we substantially damage what the New Deal had brought us, and I think we're on the verge of that right now.
Now, I don't want to take the place of John Liu. Well, let's just say, James Parrott, we're elevating you to mayor. What are the answers? What should we be doing? What are we going to tell the listeners out there that they should be supporting instead of cutting the city workforce?
We should be using the city budget to fight the adversity that lingers on from the continuation of the Great Recession. We shouldn't be using it to promote austerity and intensify that. We need to find the revenues. We need to find the cost savings to maintain the city workforce and to maintain essential services like child care, the youth services, libraries, and so on.
James Parrott and David Jones, thank you very much for giving us some introduction to this splendid rally that is absolutely not about to be dampened by a few raindrops. Workers are much more steady and hard-nosed than to be drowned out by a couple of raindrops. And we do have Lillian Roberts with us now, who's putting on her headset, and Henry Garrido, who I own a phone call to, because I have some interesting stories about contracting out. And Henry, while Lillian's getting suited up there, first of all, your impression. I mean, it is raining, but how does it look out there?
It looks out great. Our people are here in spite of the rain. I think the people have come out to let the voices be heard, so we're very happy with the turnout so far.
And what do you express as the major issues that you want lifted up today? What are the critical things that everybody should know about why thousands and thousands of workers are gathering here and many more are still coming?
Well, I think we're here to send a message to this administration that they have declared war on working people, and the people of this city that make the city run are about to get up and arm themselves and respond back, because we're not going to take this abuse anymore.
And Lillian, certainly the most attractive of the labor leaders, that goes without.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I stay so angry, I don't recognize any of those things, but go ahead.
But anger suits you, and why shouldn't you be angry? Exactly.
If
why not?
Same things are happening to the community, because that should not happen. And we, the mayor's always saying, find the money. We found the money. We want him to use it to keep people on the jobs and keep the services going in the community. And I think it's a shame that we have to come to this point. Nobody's talking about that. We found $840 million of uncollected taxes.
Where from?
From fees and residents and commercial, industrial companies that are not paying, parking lots. We have a whole series of them. We had a hearing for the sole purpose, and we also had some of the materials spoiled so that we can see what we're talking about. We fight with facts.
And, Henry, I believe also we're talking about the fact that a lot of taxes are not collected because there aren't enough auditors, there aren't enough assessors in the city, that they need to hire more make more money.
All along, that the approach this administration has taken has been penny-wise and pound-foolish, where they're laying off titles that are revenue-collecting titles. It is a form of giving the rich of this city a tax break by neglect. If you don't have enough people to collect the taxes or assess the taxes on the property, it is another form of a tax break to the millionaires and the billionaires of the city.
Lillian, one of the things I'd like you to do, you have been with the organized labor movement for a long time. You understand what it means, people to have a union or not to have a union. Put a face on the workers and what it means to have organization, not to contract out to non-union, not to try to bust what has been built up over decades of blood, sweat, and tears.
Let me say to you, we are very, 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 very fortunate to have a union. That is the voice, the collective voice of many workers and many of the people in the community. Without that, you will have chaos. You would have what's going on in Egypt and other countries because there's no way to be heard. And somehow, even though we have a union and a collective voice, one wants to ignore us. And the day that we're ignored, shame on New York. That's all I have to say.
And who are these workers that are out here? I can certainly see glorious bright green and yellow shirts,
yes.
Black and yellow, red shirts, all different kinds
of
colors.
They are the people that make this New York work.
Oh, yeah,
they're
what are they doing?
When they're here when the politicians are gone. They're still here. And whatever happens, the 911, our people was involved regardless of their titles. And they will be here. They love New York. And for them to wind up homeless and without a job, and the poverty spread among all of us because they have to eat, they have to sleep. They're people. It appears to me that they do not feel in cutting these jobs that they have declared a war, and they have actually damaged and destroyed families through this process. Enough is enough, and that's what we're saying.
And who are some of the people that are being cut the hardest? What are some of the layoffs that we're going to be seeing at District Council 37? And how will that impact the public?
Well, let me say this. Many of the social workers and child care workers are being cut. When you cut them, then you're cutting the job of the parents because they cannot afford to pay anybody to keep their youngsters. Therefore, they go on to welfare. And that's a disgrace. They're trying to get up and have some dignity. They want to work. And the nonsense that we're having is they're cutting our jobs and they're bringing people in on the top as supervisors. I think that's a crime and it's got to be heard.
We're going to turn you up. And we're speaking with Lillian Roberts, who is the executive director of District Council 37 that is sponsoring this rally with tens upon tens and possibly hundreds of thousands of workers by the time actually the rally is just about getting underway,
yes.
And it's
yes.
Filled to the brim. And we're also here with Henry Garrido. Henry?
Yeah, I just want to say that part of the cuts that this administration is proposing for this budget involve the Parks Department and the closing the pools early. There are additional cuts that are being proposed in the cultural institutions, in the libraries, in a lot of the services that go to the core of the quality of life of this city. At the same time, this administration is increasing the amount of money in contracts for consultants. And it seems odd to us at best that administration that is supporting The rich contractors that continue to get arrested almost every week at a time that they're cutting services in our communities. And we think it's a disgrace of what is happening. When you're proposing to cut teachers and close firehouses and eliminate child care, and at the same time you have a contract budget for over $10 billion for high-paid consultants throughout the city administration that need to stop and need to stop now.
Heard a lot about that contracting budget, but most people have heard about city time, which every week seems to be a new revelation of the corruption in that contract. But it's much wider than that, isn't it?
Yes, it
why
is.
Don't you expand? Lillian, do you want to go help on this?
There's over 17,000 contracts, so we're only talking about one or two. And so there's a lot more to come, and it's a disgrace. If it was anywhere else, somebody would be in jail at the administrative level. How can you overlook these kinds of things and lay off people? We're talking about $100 million that has been stolen by the contractors. I can't say enough about it because there's been child care cut out, there's been workers laid off, and all of this nonsense is going on. All they can think about is cutting the jobs.
Henry?
Let us not forget that in the Department of Education, the very same place where they look into lay off teachers and cut services, there was an additional set of arrests for more consultants who were stealing money. And we believe that this corruption is being replicated in other city agencies as well. And we are calling on the city council to finally take the stand and to begin to ask questions and to set a set of priorities. You know, people talk about values in this city. A budget is a document that expresses your value. If the mayor values teachers, then he's going to protect teachers. If he values education, then he's going to protect education. If he values libraries and our youth and everything. What the message this mayor has been sending is, I value millionaires, so I don't want the millionaire's tax to be extended. I value contractors because I'm going to continue to fund this very same contract that feed the hundreds of contracts that are making hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. That is the sad part of it, and that's what we're here today.
Well, I want to again thank both Henry Garrido and Lillian Roberts for putting together this enormous rally, and it looks like the gods may agree with us today. It's rained a little bit, but the weather is turning. And as I said, it's certainly not dampening people's spirits because there's too much at stake. And workers have fought too long and too hard to go gently into that good night.
They won't.
They won't indeed. Thank you very much. And Ken, we have two other members of other locals that are with us, and why don't you tell us who they are, and let's get them over to Mike.
We have
Dickinson,
one of the local presidents that's here, and also Deborah Pitts, and she's with the finance local where there have been layoffs already and hopefully not more. So why don't we seat them and
well, I just want to know why they got those nifty little rain hoods. I didn't even get a green hat, sister. You're going to make sure I get one?
I'm going to make sure you get one.
Well, I really don't care if I get a green hat, and I'll tell you why, because I am so high. I am just feeling such enormous energy pouring out of my sisters and brothers, the workers who make this city run.
Yes, we do. Day by day, we make this city run. I'm Deborah Pitts. I'm president of Local 1113, and I represent the Department of Finance workers, as well as city investigators that span New York City.
And my brother?
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me. My name is Cuthbert Dickinson. I'm the president of Local 374, representing workers at New York Public Library and the Botanical Gardens within the city. And I'm glad to be here.
And Deborah, I know from past rallies that a number of people in your local were laid off before.
Yes.
Why don't you talk about that and what's happening now?
Well, basically, I lost about 90 members. 12 of them were investigators, but the bulk of them were what we call OMAs, office machine aides. These are the clerical workers of the Department of Finance. And they were literally kicked out the door.
What kind of work did they do?
They did basically, they would input the ticket because our Department of Finance does also run parking violations.
Oh, how well I know.
Yes, yes, yes. You probably see me behind that front desk.
I think I've helped subsidize the city.
Oh. Anyway, these guys, they did the inputs on the tickets, as well as the imaging to make sure that they got on the website. They do the filing. They do the data entry. They do whatever clerical duties you can think of, they do.
And what's their life, those 90 who you lost, what are their lives like?
Okay. Most of them were, well, a lot of them were 55A, and that's a disability program that spans in the city of New York. Those 55A employees lost their jobs. Some of them even threatened to commit suicide because they really had nowhere else to go. They came to us through a program called FedCaps. Finance picked them up. They had a title reopened that had been archived and put them in that title. And when my lovely commissioner decided he was going to lay off, which I feel like this is trying to get rid of clericals in the city, he picked that group. Under our titles, we have the OMAs, which is the lowest on the totem pole, lowest wages and everything. We have clerical associates. We have PAAs. We have a lot of titles that are clerical. And he chose to pick that group. And that group had a lot of people with disabilities in it. So now they're out of work.
And Cuthbert, Botanical Gardens and the workers that you represented, the New York Public Library, what's happening with them, and are there threats to layoffs there?
But first, before I answer your question, I want to make it abundantly clear, I'm not only here on behalf of my members, but I'm here on behalf of the citizens of New York as well, because these are the ones that really utilize the garden. And what have happened over the years that the mayor has this false notion that these institutions should be able to take care of themselves, and that's not possible. These are educational vehicles for people all over the world who come to these gardens just to see the beauty of New York City. And over the years, our workforce have declined. We are doing more with less. I represent custodians. I represent security guards. I represent clerical. I represent investigators. And they are the ones who are being devastated by the mayor's proposed budget cut. And we are asking the city council to stop his proposed budget cut from taking place. Because, like I said before in my opening statement, it will not only have a devastating effect on our members, but also the citizens of New York City on a whole.
Now, the Botanical Gardens are technically a private group that's running it right now. Are they being paid, the managers there, very high wages, and is that some, are they taking away from other workers, the lower paid workers, because of that?
Absolutely. But it's a very delicate and ticklish issue, because what happened is when these institutions get funded, they're given a substantial amount of money, and it's not mandated that they use this money for a specific project. So they're given this money and they're able to utilize it whichever they so wish. So, of course, the average salary for DC 37 members is $30,000. The average salary for management at any one of these institutions is like $100,000. So, definitely we are at a disadvantage.
What are the salary ranges of your respective workers at your locals? Just to give an idea of people hardly living high on the hog.
For my local, it's an average of $30,000. For retirees, it's $18,000.
My goodness.
And my local average, $35,000. And our retirees, well, you can imagine, it's $35,000 is the salary of the average.
And I, you know, how could anybody not say that the vast, vast numbers of people out here today represent the majority population in our city? They are Black and Latino workers primarily.
Yes.
What does this say about a city, about a mayor who
exactly
will not implement or allow the continuation of the soon-to-be-expired millionaire's tax, but is willing to throw people who make $18,000 as retirees, $30,000, $35,000 away?
That's not even, that's like a small thing right now, because when you look at what he's doing, the people of New York need to know, he's cutting their services also. I'm in an office where people come in on a daily trying to find out about their real estate, trying to make payment plans or different things, and they can't get any services because we have no workers now. He's talking about do more with less. We're doing more, but it's not enough.
And what about being Black and Latino workers in the city? What does it mean to have such a huge number of people laid off who were very often the last hired in the municipal workforce?
Yes. So, you know, we feel like there's some kind of racism going on here, because we're the ones that's being affected. Not hardly to know that he's not only laying us off, but then he turns around and he's hiring people for our jobs of not color.
They've been hiring people for the jobs that other people were laid off for?
Oh, yeah.
But non-union workers.
Non-union workers. Sourcing out, they call it.
Yeah, but you know what? Just let me jump in here. You know, this perhaps may be controversial, what I'm about to say. But you know what happened is that, you know what happened? We had a chance, okay? We had a chance to do something about it, okay? When Bill Thompson was running against the mayor, we had a chance to get this man out of office. And DC-37 were the only union that got behind him 100%.
Yep.
All these other unions just stayed neutral, and for whatever reason. And so now the mayor is in office,
and he's tearing all the unions up. Okay?
I want to thank you for being with us. We're going to go to the stage where the rally has commenced in earnest and say, hell no, no cuts, no layoffs, no contracting out, and no sourcing out, hiring workers who are non-union after they lay off. Shame on you, Mayor.
Shame on you, Mayor Bloomberg.
And we've been speaking with
Deborah Pitts, Local 1113 President and Department of Finance Worker.
And Cuthbert Dickinson, President of Local 374, representing workers at the New York Public Library and the Botanical Gardens throughout the city. Once again, it's a pleasure to be with you.
And those are my two favorite places, so you better get with it, Mayor.
And since you donate to us so much, I know you want that to stop.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
And we are about to turn the sound over to the stage where the rally has begun in earnest now. We will bring you some highlights and some additional interviews. And I do want to let you know where else. This is WBAI 99.5 FM. This is a Building Bridges special till 6 o'clock at the live rally, with tens and tens and tens of thousands of workers gathering at City Hall saying hell no to layoffs, we say fight back. So let's join the rally in progress.
To introduce to you the executive director of DC 37, Lillian Roberts. You know, know what? I'm not going to say a lot more, but I just want you to understand something. Lillian Roberts is a heavyweight in the labor field. Lillian Roberts is the real deal. Okay? And you all heard me the other day. I told you what the mayor tells his mother when he hears that Lillian's on his case. He said, "Mama, there goes that woman."
How are you? You are looking good. They tell me you're past 7th Street. I want to give you a little background and bring you up to date and know why you're here. I have called you here today as DC 37's Fight Back Rally to serve notice on the city administration and the city council that they cannot balance the budget on the backs of city workers. Now, over the years, District Council 37 members, as well as those of other unions, have experienced layoffs, attrition, service cuts, and increased workload, while others have profited from the city budget. We pointed out over the past 8 years that the city has entered into contracts with private vendors totaling over $10 billion. There is another way. District Council 37 conducted 2 hearings on the city's effort to collect revenue and found that more than $800 million in revenue was not collected by this administration. That's a shame. This includes taxes on billboards, cell phone towers, parking garages, and on industrial and commercial properties, among others. Enough is enough. I want to hear you say that. When you close daycare centers and low-income mothers lose their jobs and are thrown onto public assistance, and when you close libraries and you leave no place for children to study and prepare their homework, these cuts deny parents the ability to search for jobs. Laying off teachers dooms more children to be uneducated or uninformed. Reducing child care workers and HCS endangers the already fragile families we read about in the papers. These are only a few examples of how these heartless and sensitive policies undermine and destroy the community and the middle class. Enough is enough. We come here today to demand that the city council, hear me carefully now, the city council and the mayor stop the cuts and collect the money the city is due. I want to say that again. This is their message. This is their message from all of you. We're demanding that the city council and the mayor stop the cuts and collect the money that the city is due. And we asking them to stop contracting out the jobs of the city workers and stop closing offices and laying off staff and stop endangering children and senior citizens and stop the tax giveaways and collect more than $800 million due to the city. Enough is enough. And I want you to join me in saying that we fired up and we're not going to take it anymore. And we're not going to take it anymore. I want them to hear you. So together we're going to say we're fired up and we're not going to take it anymore. And you really look beautiful. And we are a family and we're not going to let this go down poorly.
Look.
Lillian held two hearings and discovered that there was $800 million that was not collected in terms of taxes and revenues. And then I saw a little article in the paper the other day, and they said that they're going to collect some money from people who go into these clubs and get lap dances. I mean, is he kidding us? Then he tells us he hired three tax assessors. Is he kidding us? Forget it. Listen, at this point, I want to introduce the other partners of Lillian's who help her to run this union and who are giving the leadership to all of us and help us to get to where we need to go. I want to introduce the newest member of the leadership, Eddie Rodriguez. Eddie is new in that he was recently elected, but he's familiar to you all.
We got power! Yes, we do! We are the people in New York City! We are the people who run the city! Brothers, sisters, it's shame what this man is doing. Closing, laying off people. People are disabled. Shame on you! Try to close schools, child care centers, laying off our children. We can't take no more. Do we got power? Do we got power? Who runs the city? The union! All the unions! Not just DC-37, CSAA, Lebanon, the Teamsters. We are family! Are we a family? Are we a one? Are we going to send him the message? No more contracting out! It's a shame when you contracting out. Look at the people that he contract out. $80 million went to somebody's pocket. Well, that could have been in the budget to save people from being laid off. We got the money. We got the power. We got to send him a message. If it comes time to shut down the city, let's do it together. Let's do it together. Stand up. Jump up. Jump up. Jump up. Yell. Let the world know. Let Wisconsin know. We're together. It is time. It's about freedom. Freedom. Let freedom ring. We got the power. No more cuts. No more privatization. Brothers, sisters, we are family. We got power. Enough is enough. Enough. No more. Closing. Laying off people in ACS. But these workers go out there. Save children. Brothers, sisters, they're attacking our children. No more. Keep the public library open. Stop the nonsense. You might have the money, but you don't have our soul. Because we believe in freedom. It's here. Power. Power. Jump up. Let them know. Let the world know. We're here. Love you. Love you.
Man, I almost got poked in the eye. The brother's passionate. But I want to introduce you to Cliff Koppelman. He's the president of the local and he's secretary of the council. Just in case you didn't know it, all of our concerns are not focused on that building exclusively. Some of them are pointing right up to Albany. Cliff Koppelman, secretary of the council.
Boy, you got to follow that passion somewhere. But you got to do what he says, and you got to follow yourself. All of a sudden, we're union people, hard workers, and now we're the enemy? Who the hell is the enemy? We're going to turn around and put it right back in their face. We work for a living. We live here. We spend here. We have our children here. We want education. He came in, Bloomberg, and ruined the education. I don't give a damn what anybody says. You say you stole money. We found that he stole money. What happens? He's talking about doing something on the river. What the hell has the river got to do with saving money? He got Highline Park. Who can go up on Highline Park? You are not the enemy. You're the leaders of the union. This state and this city is probably the last bastion of unionism. You keep it working, and we don't take any guff from anybody. We're going to run them out of town. We're going to find out that he was stealing. Every time we find money, we're going to shove it right back at him. You are workers. You're good people. You're not the enemy. We can't stop the war out of the country, but we can stop the war on unions here. We have people from the other states who are looking to us for support. You do your work, and you support everybody else in these other unions. We got politicians who understand one thing. They want to get reelected, and the only way to get reelected is if you vote. And if they don't respond to what we need, you vote them the hell out of there. This is a rally, and go and get them.
See him behind me. He's got his two buttons on. He's ready to go. Our treasurer, Mark Misfar Udom.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. You look great. You should feel proud that you made history today. You took stand for the labor movement of this city. As a district council 37 union, you must feel honored that you will not take it anymore. If the mayor can give raises to those contractors, he can give raises to us, to all city employees, 325,000 strong. We will continue rally, demonstration, lobby. We will give them hell until they come into terms. Let us stop them lying. Let us tell them truth. Last fiscal year, they ended with $3.2 billion in surplus. Within 3 weeks, this fiscal year will end with a surplus. We are not in crisis. They are making it crisis to us. We will fight back. As you know, that in this country, in this city, the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, and we belong to the poorer group. So the time is now that they stop, cut the contracting out. They must stop these consultants. They must stop all the things they're doing through the city time. City time is a crime. The mayor should resign. Tell them today and now on, stop touching our health insurance. Don't touch our pension. Go to hell with your tier 6 pension legislation. Brothers and sisters, the promise is today that we will continue to fight. We will come back until we win. God bless you all. Thank you.
A lot of what we do has to be done in the political arena. We have to relate to and work with elected officials. And the man I'm going to introduce is a true friend of our union, a man who we can always count on, Bill de Blasio, the public advocate. Congress, brothers and sisters, we knew this was going to happen when we let Mayor Bloomberg come back for a third term. You know, he said he was here to save us from a bad economy. But he is delivering to us the greatest cuts to education, to childcare, to libraries that we have seen since the fiscal crisis of the 1970s. I don't feel saved. Do you feel saved? And we are not going to stand for it. You know what? These cuts, if you look across the board, they hurt our children. One after another, they hurt our children. My kids go to public school, and their schools are going to be worse if we lose 6,000 teachers. My kids use the libraries, and the libraries are going to be closed more of the time. Anyone who depends on childcare to know their kids are safe so they can go to work, it's going to be harder to find childcare. It's going to cost more. Our future is being undermined. Our children are being undermined. This is not how you build the future of New York City. So I say to the mayor, you came back here. It wasn't right. It wasn't democratic, but you came back. Now do what we need you to do. Protect our children, protect our schools, protect our libraries, protect our childcare, so this city can actually have a future. We've got 2 weeks. We've got 2 weeks, and it's up to the people of this city to make clear we will not accept these cuts. There are better ways. We're going to protect our future. We're going to protect our children. We're going to have a budget we can be proud of. Let's make it happen, brothers and sisters. Thank you.
Every borough has a borough president. I live in Manhattan, and this is my borough president, Scott Stringer, a guy who really cares. Stringer, borough president of Manhattan.
So I was born and raised in New York City, and I grew up here in the 1970s. And back then, when you talked about a fiscal situation, City Hall understood and the state understood that in order to get out of a fiscal crisis, you needed to respect and work with the city workers of this town. That was what it was like back then. Back then, when the city was on the brink of bankruptcy, unions like DC 37 and the UFT and the sanitation department all stepped up to help their city. And I find it insulting to the men and women who work here to be disrespected, treated as if you've made no contribution, lied about, fooled about, cutting essential services like daycare and health care. It is time to take politics out of the budget. And it is time to help the children. It is time to help the people who educate folks, who take care of people. You all do that. And you deserve a fair deal with City Hall. And we're going to get it. We're going to get it. Do not give up. Keep fighting. Be proud from where you come, because you represent the backbone of the greatest city on earth. You represent our diversity. You represent the people who matter to all of us. Please build coalition and let's bring it home. We are with you. Thank you.
WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
You know, we're a rich organization. We have a lot of friends. I just wonder how we got that one clinker. But at any rate, I want to introduce a person in the city council, Vincent Gentile from Brooklyn, a person who's worked with us on many, many issues.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
You know, I don't know about our mayor, but from up here where I stand, it looks like the union movement is alive and well in New York City. And you know what? When the unions are under attack, they know how to fight back, right? And today you're fighting back, and I congratulate you, and I thank you, because we know, we on the city council know, that it's our union workers who keep this city together. You have come to the rescue of New York City over and over again, and you're about to do it one more time, right? And I must say, you know, as chairman of the Select Committee on Libraries, I'm very concerned about all the men and women who work in our library systems in the five boroughs. 1,500 jobs at stake in the library system. You know, everybody says they love our libraries, but libraries can't live on love alone. They need to be funded, and people need to work in our libraries. And that's what many of you do, and that's what I'm going to be fighting for each and every day until we pass a budget that respects the union workers in this city. Thank you for being here.
In order to pass the budget, the mayor and the city council.
We're going to take this opportunity now just to move away from the stage a little. We heard a few cursory comments from Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer. And first of all, it is raining here, but what does it look like when you're up on the podium speaking?
It's a beautiful thing because you have workers from around the city, the people who built up New York, out there in the rain, fired up, understanding what's at stake in this budget battle. And people aren't going to take it anymore. They want a seat at the table. They don't want to be part of this political budget dance. And I think there's a renewed understanding that we're going to have to build bigger political coalitions so that even in difficult times, we don't balance the budget on the backs of working people who don't have a lot, and our children.
Scott, also, I just want to, like, we're at the tip of City Hall. How far back? Because we can't even see. How far back does the demonstration extend?
Way back, and there's a lot of excitement.
Are we heading over to the municipal building?
We're getting closer.
Sounds good.
It's good.
Scott, DC 37 is talking a lot about contracting out, and you commented recently about a Department of Education contract in which there were a lot of mistakes. Well, more than mistakes. There was a lot of, I would say, almost criminality. First, you want to talk briefly about that, but also the question is, are there more contracts out? You would need to look more closely at the contracting out budget.
Well, DC 37 put this out there many, many months ago. I was on a show with Lillian Roberts and the other people at DC 37. So you brought this to the forefront, and then my office released a report about the Department of Education, and we found since 2004 that outside consulting had grown 331% of the budget, even though direct education spending only went up 58%. So these outside contractors are now, many of them are under investigation by federal prosecutors. The system has gone way beyond what original intent was. We should not be having outside consultants with no oversight, and look what's happening. So I think this is a very serious issue. We can use this money for the classroom and to restore services. But let's face it, these outside contractors are gaming the system, those that are not using their contracts for direct classroom work.
Scott Stringer, one of the things I also wanted to ask, one of what Lillian Roberts has made very prominent today was the issue of the expiration in December of the millionaire's tax. Now, we're constantly told that if you charge those people who receive more remuneration for their efforts or are just they're wealthier, for goodness sakes, they're driven out of Manhattan. They're driven out of the city. I mean, what is your perspective and understanding about what we should do about And do you support the millionaire's tax?
I think that in tough fiscal times, everyone has to pay their fair share. And the richest people in the city, I believe, will pay more in the form of a millionaire's tax, especially if you give them a roadmap to what the plan is. Whether you're rich or poor, you want to know what your city government is doing to deal with the crisis, not just month to month, year to year, but what's the overall fiscal plan for the city. And I think part of what the mayor has not been able to do is convince both rich people and working people that there's a plan here, because it's become so politicized, calling out 6,000 teachers, threatening the workers of DC 37. Even as the economy is getting better, there's no transparency in this budget process. So the dance has gotten so out of control that we have to go back to our people, people who are millionaires and the people who make a lot less, ask people to contribute the fair share. But also, government has an obligation to tell people where we are in this fiscal crisis, and no one seems to know.
Another thing that District Council 37 is highlighting is the fact that assessors and auditors are being laid off, that there are fewer of them because of attrition, and they're the ones that bring the money into the city by auditing and assessing taxes.
First of all, it makes no sense when you want to collect every legal dollar you can that the people who do that work are disappearing. That makes no sense from an economic point of view. But auditors don't just collect money. They keep the system, making sure that everything's on the up and up. And I think we have to be mindful of the fact that when you cut building inspectors, when you cut assessors, that nobody is accountable because you don't have people watching the store. And when the word audit means something, it's just making sure people pay. It's also reporting when they're not paying. And I think we have a very serious issue, because they're the easy ones to let go, but in the long run, it really hurts the city.
We've mentioned a good deal about the economics, but what I'm also concerned about, and perhaps is represented today by the fact that we have workers here from Wisconsin and Ohio and Indiana, that a lot of the contracting out, of course, is about circumventing work through collective bargaining processes, through unions, through organized workers' efforts. They're union busting, in effect. Comment on, give us some sense of what this also means to the body of representation of the working class, the maintenance of unions.
I think we should always remember that being a union town is not a dirty word. The people who make up unions are the backbone of this city, the people who built up our neighborhoods, who built up the schools, who built up the daycare centers. People in the labor movement in this city were the forefront in the area of civil rights. In fact, in the 1970s, I remember this very clearly, United Federation of Teachers and District Council 37 contributed to making sure that the city got through the fiscal crisis. The unions invested their own pension money into those Big Mac bonds. And what was happening then that's not happening now is that government, finance, real estate, and labor were actual partners in helping New York. No one went after people because they were in a union. No one went after to demonize unions because it may be politically expedient. I want to go back to a time when there was a partnership in this city, and that we don't go after people because they happen to be in a union. And if you go even back further in history, you know that the union movement saved lives, gave people the opportunity to have a living wage, health benefits. Why would we demonize working people in this way?
And I've got to ask, in 2 days or less, the rent regulations for stabilized and controlled tenants for millions of tenants expire.
Well, I was in Albany yesterday rallying.
You didn't get arrested, though.
I didn't get arrested. But I rallied with the tenants. Wanted to advocate very much for marriage equality and rent regulation extension and improvement on the bill. You know that when I was in the state assembly, I was the only Democrat over 13 years to vote every time, even when they tried to compromise against weakening the rent laws. So I feel very strongly that legislators have to step up, not just continue what they have, but go back to what tenants deserve, which is full protection. The people in these buildings totally built up our neighborhoods, and why should we push them out? It makes no sense.
Well, Borough President Scott Stringer, thank you for spending some time with us, and most importantly, for being here and standing up for the working class today. Go District Council 37.
Thank
no
you.
Cutbacks, no layoffs. Thank you. And we're going to bring up some people who are going to put their body where their hearts are. And that is, they are in the process of setting up a Bloombergville, a sleep out, speak up, and fight back against budget cuts. And we're very pleased to have with us two brothers who, I hope the weather treats them a little bit better than it has been so far. Gene Knight is one of the organizers of the Bloombergville, and my other brother is?
Larry Hales from New Yorkers Against the Budget Cuts.
Oh, you're the one I've been emailing. Okay. Welcome, Larry Hales. First of all, tell us what the plan is to indeed sleep out, speak up, and fight against budget cuts. Dee, do you want to start?
Sure. This is an action of the New Yorkers Against Budget Cuts, Students, Labor, and Community United. The point is to make it clear that we're totally opposed to this anti-people budget that Bloomberg is foisting on New York. And many people who are here as union members will be with us. There are many students. It's hard to say. It'll be in the hundreds of people. And we're just going to stay and do a whole bunch of things to make the message, get the message across.
Now, when you say you're going to stay, let's get a little bit more specific about this. Larry, where are you going to stay? How long are you going to stay? What are you going to do?
Well, we're going to stay on the other side of, on the east side of City Hall Park, on the Brooklyn Bridge side, which is, I think, it's Center and Spruce Streets. And, you know, we intend to stay until, you know, the budget process, voting process comes up, because we want to be able to impact that process and let them see the voice and anger of the people. Overnight, yes.
And the name Bloombergville, why call it that? Now, of course, I still remember the pictures, in any event, of the Hoovervilles that were set up during the Depression, including in Central Park, where people were truly homeless and set up shacks as the best they could. Is that what evoked the name Bloombergville to conjure up those Hoovervilles of the Great Depression?
Absolutely, and it's a close relative of the Cuomovilles that we have seen around the state and around the city in recent weeks, primarily made up of people fighting for the right to a home and to a continuation of rent subsidies. Bloombergville, you know, this is aimed at Bloomberg's budget proposal. But we all know this is all one very big joint state, local, and federal attack in which the rich have their taxes cut and the poor and working people have their services cut and their jobs eliminated.
So where are the people coming from? What groups are they representing? What are their different interests? Who are going to be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until this budget settled?
Well, New Yorkers Against the Budget Cuts is made up of many different groups, from the labor unions, as well as from different CUNY student groups, high school student groups, as well as many community organizations. And it represents, you know, the issues of the working class in the city of New York. You know, the people who are fighting against the closing of schools, the privatization and charterization of schools, as well as tuition increases and cuts to services across the board in the entire city. So.
Larry, I just want to ask, before we turn to the stage, where can, again, people find you, because they should come out and rally with you and show their support? And frankly, they should give you some good snacks and a good breakfast. So tell us where we can see you in the next couple of days as you make this effort, setting up this Bloombergville to sleep out, speak up and fight back against budget cuts. Where are you going to be again?
We're going to be on the Brooklyn Bridge side of City Hall on the sidewalks. It's Center and Spruce Street are the closest streets there, where the subway stops. I think the train stops over there. And we're going to be there every day, 24 hours a day, constant presence.
And if people want to get in touch with you before then to talk about logistics, how they can help, how can they contact you?
Probably the easiest way first is to go to the website nocutsny.wordpress.com. They can also call our media callback number, 646-271-4158.
So we got to make sure to help our brothers and sisters. And just very quickly, Larry, you surely do not remember Hoovervilles. Why did you get involved in this? Why are you going to be laying out on the pavement of New York City over budget cuts? What's your inspiration?
Because I used to be a City College student, and I wanted to become a high school teacher. Yet I'm $70,000 in debt, and tuition keeps going up. And I've actually been unemployed for the past 2 years and can't find a job. So, I'm representative of a lot of people, especially young black males in the city of New York.
Heavy. We're going to see you out there. We're going to make sure you get a great, great breakfast. And right on.
Yes,
and
food.
And we've been speaking with Larry Hales and Dee Knight, the organizers for the Bloombergville. Make sure you visit them and keep their spirits up. And we're going to return to the stage for some more sound from the District Council 37, Rock City Hall, saying no layoffs, no contracting out, no service cutbacks in our communities.
Why? Because we're the last line of defense for working people in the middle class who can't stand up to this power play on their own. And not only do they want to take away working people's voices at the bargaining table, they want to steal our voices as far as voting. Look at the laws that are being passed state by state by state, taking our voting rights away from us. We can't stand for this, sisters and brothers. But we know what's right, and we know how to fight back, and we know how to stand up. And just like that old song goes, we are on the road to freedom, and we shall not be moved. We are at our best when we fight for our rights, because we know that nothing worthwhile comes without a struggle. Let me close with a quote, sisters and brothers. You know, Frederick Douglass once said that those who want freedom but don't want to agitate are like people who want crops without plowing the ground. People who want the rain but not the thunder or the lightning. Well, we're not afraid to agitate. We are not afraid to plow that ground. We are not afraid of the thunder or that lightning. We are not afraid. As a matter of fact, we're bringing on the thunder, and we're bringing on that lightning, and we're fighting back. We've got to stand up. We've got to fight back. And it is up to us to win this struggle. It is up to us to stop this power play. We've got to do it for all the members of AFSCME in New York City, in New York State, and across this country. For all the working families across this nation, we will stand up. We will fight back. We will make our voices heard, and we will win. One day longer and one day stronger. One day longer and one day stronger. One day longer and one day stronger. Thank you very much. Some special guests all the way from Wisconsin and Indiana. You help them, and they are here to make their voices heard to support you. They are here with us right now. LaTanya Johnson from Milwaukee. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Willie Wallace from Indiana. Give a round of applause. This is a
Hello, my name is LaTanya Johnson. I'm a licensed family child care provider in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm the proud president of Wisconsin Child Care Providers Together, Local 502, and I'm an Ask Me Next waiver. I own and operate a 24-hour, five-day-a-week child care center in my home. I make an average of $3.78 per hour per child. My center cares for 100% low-income children. These are the most impoverished and at-risk children in our city. I will never become a millionaire doing what I do. And I will never receive the respect or the recognition I deserve for doing what I do. But I'm just one of over a million public sector employees who get up and go to work every day to make our communities a better place to live. No one cares more about our communities than Ask Me, public sector employees. We provide the essential services, the same services that so many people take for granted. We get up and we go to work every day, and we make our communities safe, and we make them clean, and we make them an enjoyable place for people to call home. And we do this because we're Ask Me, and we care. My grandmother used to have a saying. She said, history always repeats itself if you fail to remember the lesson. It might be a different day, it might be a different time, but history always, always repeats itself. On November 2nd, 2010, we proved my grandmother right. We allowed history to repeat itself. Too many of us stayed home and we didn't go to the polls. And we didn't support the people who support the working class citizens. In Wisconsin, because we stayed home, our schools are facing multi-million dollar cuts. Our low-income families are having to choose between going to work and leaving their kids at home alone because they can't afford child care. And our unions are being stripped of their collective bargaining rights. Because we failed to remember. We failed to remember that right here in New York, so many years ago, 146 people died in the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire because of poor working conditions. See, we've been accustomed to the five-day, 40-hour work week, but we fail to remember that people lost their lives. Like in the Chicago Haymarket Square or in the Bayview Massacre, people lost their lives marching for the eight-hour day. We fail to remember the Memphis sanitation strike. low-income workers. But I was there when Jesse Jackson came to Madison to march for collective bargaining. I refuse to allow history to repeat itself. And I not do my part to correct this wrong. You can't mess with New York and not see Wisconsin coming to its aid, because we are family. And we got 1.6 million brothers and sisters ready to join in this fight. Fighting is what we're used to, and fighting is what we gonna do. We are going to take back our government. We're going to take back our jobs. We're going to take back our rights as workers. And we're going to take back our place in history. Because we're AFSCME. And together, in solidarity, we make America happen.
Okay, we have another very, very short video we want you to see about the Wisconsin, I believe.
I would just like to extend our thank you from Wisconsin, from the AFSCME members and all our coalition partners in Wisconsin, to the members of DC 37, and commit to them that we are in the struggle with them.
So we are back with another union local president, not because we don't want you to see the video. It's just we're going to create our own physical reality here, and we are speaking with
Robert Herkimer, president of Local 1501. I represent the New York Zoological Society employees. I represent five zoos here in the city: the Bronx Zoo, New York Aquarium, Central Park, Prospect, and the Queens Zoo.
Those are some of my very favorite places in the entire city. So, my goodness, what has that got to do with the rally today? Don't tell me how many workers are about to be laid off.
Well, unfortunately, right now, we haven't heard the layoffs. We did have, in 2009, about 50 of my members have lost their job. I got about 8 of those people back, which is a good thing. This year, we heard that our wonderful mayor is going to hit the culturals about 50% cutbacks. As I said, we haven't heard of anything as layoffs right now, and maybe my mean getting on air will prevent layoffs happening in the zoo. It's a very important facility that, you know, as a lot of people walking through there. It's an educational facility, and many kids walk through there. Exhibits are starting to close because of lack of money, and I don't think that's right for the city.
So you're saying that exhibits are starting to close. I imagine the longer this goes on, the more the service cutbacks will affect what people experience when they go to the zoos.
Yes, exactly. I mean, in 2009, right after the layoffs, they did close two very, very popular exhibits, and to this day, I'm still getting questions asked, well, why did they close? Are they going to reopen? And unfortunately, I have to tell these people that no. And there might be more exhibits closing in the future. And I encourage them to call the mayor's office and to call Albany and to voice their opinion and to please reach out and help us not close any more exhibits.
What kind of jobs do your workers perform in the, let's just take a place like the Bronx Zoo?
All right, well, I represent over 24 different titles. Obviously, my biggest members are my keepers. Anyways, from mammal keepers to bird keepers to reptiles. And then, of course, you have your shops. You got your carpenters, your electricians I represent. I'm personally a horticulturist, and I take care of the grounds. We have a maintenance department.
You actually work at the Bronx Zoo?
I actually work at the Bronx Zoo. When I'm not doing union work, I do work in the Bronx Zoo, and I take care of the plant material.
And what does it mean for the animals? What does it mean if there are half as many workers to do all these important things? We certainly understand what it means for people who will not be able to see the exhibits, etc., which is a terrible, terrible loss. But what does it also mean for the exhibits that are maintained
Remember, when they close an exhibit, they have to put these animals somewhere. What they try to do is ship animals out to other zoos, but they can't. Unfortunately, they can't ship them all out. So what they do is they try to cram them into existing buildings that my keepers take care of, and of course that creates more of a workload for these people. Yeah. And especially when you talk about dangerous animals, you have to really be on your toes when it comes to certain animals in that facility. And by putting more to take care of, you're running a risk of getting hurt.
You know, we should have brought Maya here. You know who Maya is?
No, unfortunately, I don't.
The snake!
The cobra, the famous, may have been
our secret weapon. Maybe if we acquainted the mayor with Maya. I think Maya is what they named
I believe it's Mia.
Mia, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that would have changed his mind. But quite seriously, what kind of salaries are we talking about your workers making?
I would say on the average, you're talking about, well, again, the keepers are my majority. They start about $34,000 a year. And then, of course, after several years of being on the job, you go up. And I would say around $38,000.
And what does it mean to the lives of middle-aged people who have had these jobs, cared about them, loved them, done them well, if they lose them? What does it do to them?
I think it breaks them down morally. I mean, you got to remember, a lot of these keepers don't work. They love what they do. So, the money is just a plus. Most of my keepers are very passionate about what they do. So when exhibits close or animals get shipped out, they take it very personally, and it upsets them. And I think that's horrible.
So what are you here to tell the mayor today?
I would like to reach out to the mayor and ask him to please not cut back the cultures. And I'm not talking just the zoos. I'm talking libraries and museums and botanical gardens. And, I mean, we bring people to the city. And I think it's important that he reconsider and think not cutting back the culturals.
Are you pleased by the turnout here today?
I think it's fantastic. I think it's fantastic. I wish we could do this weekly.
We should, shouldn't we?
I think we should.
Well, we're going to make sure. We're going to make sure that the voices of everybody listening is added to the workers that are here today saying, hell no layoffs, no cutbacks, no contracting out. We must save this job because that's what our city is based on. The municipal employees do the work. They make this city happen.
Right. I agree exactly. Thank you very much.
And we have another city worker, and I have to say, I was thinking of you last night. Now, this may sound a little peculiar, but I was coming home rather late, and I passed a corner restaurant. And at first, I hoped they were squirrels. But they were. They were three absolutely humongous rats. One of them looked like the size, of a possum. Why was I thinking about you? Because I know that you are a worker, a local president, who does a vital job to the city. So tell us who you are, and why in the world would I be concerned about rats if I'm speaking with you?
Yes, my name is Fitz Reed. I'm president of Local 768 DC37. The importance about rats is that the city is now being overrun. From last year, we laid off 75% of the pest control workers, and we have not recovered. In fact, the situation is getting worse. The subway is overrun, the restaurants are overrun, the people's private homes are overrun, and therefore we are in this massive problem. We hope the city council will restore some of these funds.
It's what do you tell the mayor to do? And by the way, how many possible workers are we speaking about getting laid off from your local?
We have over 200, or about 5% of my local, which will be laid off. That's primarily from New York City. We have over 25 titles in the Health and Hospitals Corporation and about 60 titles in Department of Health and Mental Hygiene.
And Fitz, also now, that was the last cycle of cuts. Now we're going into a new cycle of cuts. What do you expect the impact upon both your members and city services and the health department will be, and do you expect layoffs?
I do not like the word expect, because it seems like we are anticipating layoffs. what this city has put out in its preliminary budget is really cuts. But we are doing everything we can to resist it, because it's not just cuts of workers, but cuts of services, necessary services, right, which the city is mandated to provide. And these costs, it multiplies over to the family, it multiplies to the community, it multiplies to the environment, and we have problems if these cuts go through.
What are we going to? We're obviously going to tell the mayor not to have any more cuts. But what are we supposed to say about the money? Is this a? By the way, don't we have a surplus?
Not only do we have a surplus, but we are not collecting the revenue that the city ought to. DC 37 have put out white paper where billions of dollars are not being collected. And it's not just not being collected, it's from particular classes that it's not being collected. And this is just an extension of the class war that we have going on in the U.S. right now, where the employers and big businesses are doing everything they can to translate money into the electoral process rather than votes.
And with us also is Anthony Wells, and he is the newly elected president of Social Service Employees Union, Local 371. Now, welcome to our broadcast.
Thank you very much, Kim. Happy to be here.
Okay, now, one of the things that's happening is that the local had layoffs before in the Agency for Child Services, and new layoffs are being contemplated. So do you want to tell the listeners what the agency is, what the workers do, and what the impact will be?
Well, ACS is the agency charged with providing services to families who are at risk of abuse and neglect, which means they do investigations. They're also supposed to provide preventive services, and now they also deal with juvenile justice. What the cuts have meant is that more families and more children are at risk because they have cut down workers in critical areas. Though people focus on child protective services, the supportive services are just as vital to providing services to a family. The present cuts that are targeted are aimed at eliminating a teenage pregnancy prevention program and aftercare program, as well as reducing the number of workers who deal with children in juvenile justice facilities.
It's never come easy being a worker. It's certainly not going to come easy being a new union president at this time. But I do want to get a sense for you. How do you feel about this rally today? And by the way, you have the nicest shirt. I'm sorry, Fitz. The green and white one is nice, but that red, black, and yellow works every time.
Well, we thank you. I feel energized. I feel optimistic. I feel hopeful. And I feel that our message is being heard not just by the mayor, but by the city council, and I believe the city of New York. Because on this day, people have stood up and said, we're here.
So both of you, maybe in the next 30 seconds before we return to the stage, what is the final message you want our listeners to hear?
The final message is that civil service employees and public service employees make this city run. We have been helpful. We've borne the burden in the city when it's bad economic times. Now it's time for people to recognize our value, our contributions, and that we are families. We have families, and we're workers, but we're people. And it's important that we have a voice in what goes on in the city.
Fifth.
And I just suggest that if the employees at the class war against us, then we must react accordingly. An injury to one must be the watchword, an injury to all. And solidarity ought to be the watchword. Some of us will have to make compromises to develop unity. God bless.
Indeed, and you're listening to an extended special live broadcast from District Council 37, rocking the house, rocking City Hall today with tens of thousands of workers not daunted by the rain. And indeed, the sun has now come out, and it will for the workers as they strike forward in unity to say hell no to the layoffs, hell no to budget cuts, hell no to contracting out. That's the message today. an injury to one indeed is an injury to all. And I'm Mimi Rosenberg with Ken Nash. Of course, this is WBAI, and we return to the stage now. Thank you, brothers.
Okay, this group includes Harry Nisfoli, Michael Mulgrew, Dennis Hughes of the state AFL-CIO. Dennis Hughes is the president of the New York State AFL-CIO. Dennis, and a friend of DC 37.
Brothers and sisters, let's show them we're serious. Are we going to take these cuts? Are we going to take these cuts? Are we going to fight back? Are we going to fight back? Are we going to take these cuts? Are we going to take these cuts? Brothers and sisters, the answer is simple. I'm here to tell you that the labor movement in this city and this state, I got to fight by you. I got to stand by you. We're going to be here today, tomorrow, and every day until we get our way. So let's hear it. Are we going to fight? Are we going to fight? Are we going to push back? Are we serious? Fight on and God bless you.
Okay. Harry Nisfoli, the head of the Municipal Labor Committee and for the sanitation workers.
First of all, thank you, Lillian Roberts and DC 37 for putting this together. DC 37's in the house. Is 831 in the house? Good. We're here today to say we're going to fight back. And we're not going to take the cuts. And we want the mayor to take all the layoffs off the table. And keep the teachers in the rooms, and keep the firehouses opened up, keep the libraries opened up. We make this city run, and it's all about this. This is what has to stop, right here. This is what has to stop. Thank you.
I want to introduce to you Raglan George, the president of our sister council, 1707. Raglan.
Sisters and brothers! You know, I'm here to tell you that this man doesn't understand working people. He doesn't understand what it means to be a worker in New York. He doesn't understand what it means to take away from those who need it the most. I think his wealth has gone to his head. The one thing that I don't understand when I get mad is when he starts to extend his term limits and he starts to extend his plight on working families, when he starts to take child care away from families and children in the city of New York. He needs to be recalled. He needs to do what we do in other states. When they want to recall, let's recall him. And when I say you get mad, when you get mad, what do you say? You are ready to rumble. Are we ready to get mad? Let's hear you. Let's hear you. He does not understand when we need teachers to teach our children, when we need firehouses to stay home and to protect us when there are fires, when we need DC 37 and all the work that they do to take care of us in this city. He doesn't know what it means to have Head Start and daycare take care of our children while we do all the work that we do. And so what I say to you is, every time I hear from this guy, and they talk about he only makes a dollar, but since he's been in office, he's made over $1 billion. He's made a lot of money while he's been in office. On your backs, on your backs. And it's time to get angry. It's time to say, we're ready to rumble. Are we ready to rumble? Are we ready to rumble? Are we ready to rumble? Keep the fight on. Power to the workers. All right, brothers and sisters. I want to introduce Michael Mulgrew, the president of the United Federation of Teachers and executive vice chair of the Municipal Labor Committee.
It's labor in the house! On the working people of this city, on the streets today! Are we going to be on the streets next week if we need to be? The following week? If we got to go to Albany in December to get a millionaire's tax, we going to get it? Because we've said enough is enough. We've had it with all of this foolishness going on out there. Now today, my friend and I walk with our members across the Brooklyn Bridge, and I want to introduce my good friend, the president of 1199, Mr. George Gresham. Come on up, Louis. If DC 37 in the street, workers standing up for their rights, doing the right thing, then the UFT wants to be there, 1199 wants to be there, the MLC, the CLC, because once again, enough is enough. 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 Is enough. Thank you.
Let me hear my working people out there today. Working people, let me hear you out there today. So, I want you to try to do something with me as working people. Throw your hands up in the air. Wave them like you just don't care. And if you're working people and you know it's not fair, somebody say, oh yeah! Are we gonna fight back, sisters and brothers? The time has come for us to tell the city that us working people, we're not gonna go back. You know, there was a time when you could mistreat working people, when you could not pay them fair wages, when you could engage in speed up, when you could not give them enough to take care of their family, there was a time. But then someone invented something called unions. And unions were the voice of working people. Unions is what made society say we have to respect the dignity of work and make sure that we get what we deserve as working people. And so today, we are here united
united as working people. We don't hate this city. We love this city. And it's because of that love for our city that we're going to make the rich in this city pay their fair share. We're not going to balance the budget of the city on working people. And we're here united to say that is the one thing that unites all of us. The people that are here in this rally, the police who are around the rally, and the observers, that we all want the American way. We want the dignity and respect that comes with work when you treat workers fairly. And so we deserve the services that they want to threaten to cut. And we're not going to allow it to happen, that we in New York as labor are going to be united. And if they think that we're going to die, we're only going to multiply. And so, just one more time, so that all of those elected officials who think they're going to balance the budget on the back of working people, let's just show them one more time. So throw your hands in the air and act like you care. If you don't like what's going on, somebody say, oh yeah. If you're going to fight back, somebody say, oh yeah. If they think we got to go, you say, hell no. Thank you, New York.
Our next speaker is Arthur Chiliotis, the president of Local 1180. Arthur's a passionate labor man, and you'll hear it when he speaks. Thank you.
Are you fired up? Are you fired up? Are you going to take any more? Are you going to take any more? This billionaire mayor, he wants to cut union jobs. When he cuts union jobs, he cuts the middle class. Do we want to see that? When he cuts public services, he hurts the people of the city. Do we want to see that? When this mayor talks about taking office for a third term with all his money, do we think that's democracy? Are we going to change that? These billionaires have crashed our economy. They want total control of our society. They want to do away with our democracy. And they have created this mess. Today, we are sending a message. You created this mess. You clean it up. You created this mess. Share in the sacrifice. It's time the mayor and his billionaire friends started acting like responsible adults, not whining babies. We know the crash of 2008 in the stock market was caused by the elite rich. And we learned from there that they're not rich because they're smart. They're rich because they're thieves. We can't trust them with our economy or our government. The one thing we learned from 2008 is that if you want to rob a bank, you better own it. They need adult supervision. The billionaires, the bankers, and Bloomberg created the budget crisis. the billionaires, the bankers, and Bloomberg crashed our economy. They must share in the sacrifice. Bloomberg will not be remembered as the CEO mayor. Look at what he did to City Time, and look at what he's doing to our economy. He won't be remembered as the education mayor, because Bloomberg doesn't care about education. You don't lay off teachers if you care about education. He will be known as the Herbert Hoover of New York City. Yes, Herbert Hoover, the president who, when you had the 1929 crash, what did he do? He cut taxes to his rich friends, he ignored the people, and he created...
Well, we are leaving the rally, but exuberantly. The employees' rights from coast to coast were raised up today in a unified voice against the drive to crush public employees. I'm Mimi Rosenberg with Ken Nash and a full crew of interns and BAI holding together at the DC 37 rally saying hell no to budget cuts. That's what we've got to do in this city. And return you to the WBAI Evening News. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash, reminding you that Building Bridges is on regularly on Mondays at 7 p.m. And check us out on our website, www.buildingbridgesradio.org.
Keep that spirit up.
What's going on? There's a war zone.